Greetings again this evening in Jesus' name. Good to see each and every one of you. It's good to be here with you all again. Is that truly our heart's cry tonight, that the Lord would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing? Is that what we want? I pray and trust that it is. And I pray that tonight God will speak to our hearts again. Well, last night I gave you a question, something you could find an answer for, and the question was, who am I? I was burned in a New Testament martyr. I was burnt in a bull-shaped oven. Who am I? Antipas. It was in Revelations, you can read it, it says, my faithful martyr, Antipas. So, thank you for that. Well, this evening, we're going to continue on with the thought of enduring to the end. I know last evening we spoke on humility. It takes a humble heart, it takes a broken and contrite heart to continue to walk with God and to continue to have that water of life to flow freely from God. It takes that humility to have that happen. And so, we see as a humbleness of mind is very important in our Christian life to endure to the end. And so, going on with that theme this evening, before we get there, let's have a word of prayer and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, again we come to you in Jesus' name this evening. Father, you heard us as we worshiped you in song. Lord, we together lifted up our voices and asked you to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And Lord, if you don't come and minister to our needs, we have gathered in vain. Tonight, Lord, we are looking to you again that you would feed us. Lord, that you'd speak to us. Father, that we could open our hearts to receive your word, Lord. And if there's areas in our lives that we would be willing, Lord, to acknowledge them and change. So, Father, tonight as I speak, God, I just pray for your Holy Spirit anointing. Lord, that I could speak those things that would glorify you and edify your people tonight. Father, we do pray, be with us here, and that your Spirit would have free course here, we pray, Lord. We do thank you. I do pray, Lord, you'd give me a clear mind that I could speak for your glory and honor. So thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. It is definitely much cooler tonight than it was last night. I can feel that up here. This evening, the topic that I'd like to look at is authority. Authority. And I know that that's a pretty scary topic for a lot of people. Maybe not for all of you, but I know for some that's a pretty scary topic. Authority. I can testify in my own life that was not a pleasant topic for me early on my Christian journey. But that has changed. You know, as we do not value authority, as we have the wrong viewpoint of authority, we miss so many blessings in life. And I can't tell you all the blessings that you miss from the wrong viewpoint of authority, for the lack of putting value on it. So many people are missing the mark because they miss this principle of authority in their life. There's so many men and youth that are losing their way. You know, authority was given by God. That's actually God ordained. Authority, in Ephesians 4, it tells us that a reason why he gave these gifts to the body. It says here he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. What were those gifts given for? It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's all for His glory, for our benefit, as we're in the kingdom of God. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Speaking of maturing, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's why those gifts were given, is that the body can prosper and flourish. That you and I can prosper. And they're given for our benefit. You know, in just another thought in establishing the thought of authority, it's in, I think it's in 1 Timothy 3 maybe. It gives the calling there of an elder. Gives those qualifications. And it's giving them because it's expected that in the church of God there's authority. It's expected that that's there. And it gives quite a list there of what's to be expected in those that are in authority. So anyhow, thinking of authority and the resistance to authority is where many people lose their way. The resistance to authority causes people to lose their way. And we all know the account in Numbers. In Numbers 16, we have the account of Korah. We have the account of Korah, his friends. Maybe I'll just turn there. It's in Numbers 16 that these men stood up and spoke against God's ordained authority. But before we go there, we all acknowledge authority to some degree. There's authority in pretty much every aspect of our lives. Take it, not even talking church authority, but just in your own homes. Most of you as dads have authority, right? Most of you lead out, you give direction. That's authority. What about at work? What do you do, brother, for work? Yeah. Say that again. A tire shop. Okay. Are you the boss? Boss's son. Okay. How does? Well, you said boss's son. Wait, we just talked about authority, didn't we? We just not acknowledge that there was some authority there. But imagine this. How many work with you? 19. Okay, so here's a business with 19 employees. And there is no authority at this business. And it's a tire shop. Brother Paul here is going to go get some tires. And he wants tires for his minivan. But because of the lack of authority and everybody doing their own thing, this tire shop is trying to give him semi-truck tires for his minivan. Do you see the disorder? But, so there's 19 of them that work there. In order for them to be effective, in order for them to be efficient, someone has to lead out. Someone has to be in charge. Someone has to give direction. And sure, he may delegate, you oversee this group. You oversee this portion. You take care of the accounting. You make sure that customer satisfaction in all these areas are top notch. Nobody's leaving here unhappy. But somebody, in order to be effective in business, we've got a tire shop at home, and he doesn't have, let's say, the best testimony in town. There's a lack of just simply being friendly. How can I help you today? You need some tires? Okay, you're at the right place. You know, just to make him feel welcome. The tire shop at home operates a little bit like this. You pull in. You say, I'm looking for some tires. What do you want? That's how he operates. And if you're a young lady and you pull in and you say, just being polite, you say, do you sell tires here? He don't like that. The last one I know that he did that to, he screamed at him and said, get out of here! He thought that was dumb. That's how he actually operates. But he's by himself. You take this business here, and they have 19 employees. It takes some serious organization to keep 19 people busy, to make sure that their salary is met. It takes some organization with customer relations, because by me being gruff, by me yelling at my clients or potential clients, I'm losing business. People don't come back. And for 19 employees, somebody's got to lead out to make sure that we're doing our thing, to make sure that our customers, they don't think about the tire shop down the road. Yeah, the tire shop down the road might beat us by $100, but that's okay, because we beat them in service. We beat them in customer satisfaction every time. Do you understand what I'm saying? That takes someone in authority to make that happen. That doesn't just happen. At work, we believe in authority. But in the church, and not all of you are here, I realize that, but in the church, so often, we don't believe in authority. Somehow we spiritualize the church in such a way that we don't need to be practical in the way it works and the way it functions. You know, tonight, I was asked to speak here, and I didn't get here, and a number of other men come up and say, tonight I'm going to go do 5 minutes, and I'm going to do this, and we're going to do this. And you know what I'm saying? There wasn't this lack of direction. There wasn't this chaos. But there was order given, and everybody just expects it. And it flows that way. Order. That comes from authority. That don't just happen. You know, some of us have had maybe some experience with the misuse of authority. Do you know what I'm talking about, misuse of authority? Anybody have that experience? Yeah? I remember, this is just a quick testimony of mine. I remember misuse of authority. But I also remember, looking back in my life, what I thought was a mean preacher, because he gave some clear expectations. Sometimes it's not actually misuse of authority, but it's in here, those of us that are to receive direction and to honor authority, the problem is here. Does that make sense? And so we look at the preacher like he's mean. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he drew that line so hard. And just as a testimony, I didn't ask the brother if I could share this tonight, but I know he doesn't care, because he likes to pick on everybody else too. But you have a preacher among you that I deemed in my mind as a mean preacher. Not anymore. I love the brother dearly. But there was a time where I was there, I thought, that is very, very harsh. I don't know. Fine, forget it. Those are the thoughts I was dealing with. But do you know, a brother shared this with me some time ago. Did you know to be unclear in direction, in expectation, is to be unkind? Did you know that? To be unclear is to be unkind. To let people wonder what you mean. As fathers, that's unkind to do that to our children. But anyhow, this brother did that to us. He just clearly laid it out. He was helping another congregation at the time, and we were in the mix somehow. And he just suggested to the church to write him a letter, state on there what you expect. This is where things need to come to at a peaceable place for us to continue on. And I was at a place I thought we were working in a right direction. And I didn't like that. That was like a kick. Like, step it up. Come on. That's the way I felt. I didn't like that. But as I look back and I reflect over that time, that the minister that I thought was a mean preacher, I look at him as he was a very kind preacher. He helped us come to a place of, okay, this is what they're talking about. This is what they are expecting. I don't have to wonder, are we or are we not? Did we do something? Or are we there? You understand what I'm saying? I didn't have to wonder. It was clear. And as I look back and consider that, I count it a blessing. I do. And you know what? Now I find myself at times in places and opportunities where I wonder, do they feel like I'm a mean preacher? Because we have expectations. We just lay things out. This is how it is. This is where we need to go. That's not easy. We don't look forward like, yep, I get to tell these people. No, but in our hearts, we want each one to prosper. And so we want to be clear because that's how we can be kind. And I'll be clear with you who that brother was. Can I? That was Brother Mark Miller. Today, I appreciate him. But he still is clear. He still likes to keep things clear. I still appreciate that, though. God bless you, brother, for doing that. And you know what? I never talked to him about this, and he never knew I ever felt this way about it. But that's just a real testimony for me. And I know a few others in our congregation felt the same way, but today we're blessed. Because today we look back and realize they weren't asking anything out of line. They weren't asking us to do anything foolish or silly. It was just clear expectation of where this needs to go. Was it for their benefit? It was for their benefit because they was trying to help another church out. Was it for our benefit? You better believe it was. Because they actually wanted us to attain that. It wasn't something up here that we couldn't reach. But they wanted us to attain that. So authority given in that way, very clear direction, that's actually very kind. You young people, sometimes your dad and maybe your mom give you some authority, give you some direction in life. And oh, it just grinds. They don't understand. They're outdated. Can't believe they just said that. I mean. But you know what? That's kindness. That's kindness from your parents. Because they want what's best for you. Authority is to be clear, and that will be kind. You know, we look at Acts 15. We look at Acts 15 and we consider that great brothers meeting that they had there. There was a big brothers meeting that took place in Acts. They got together. What are we going to do? They had a problem about these Gentiles coming into the church. This was a problem. How are we going to handle this? And they talked about it. We don't have all the information that they talked about. But it just spoke to me that someone in the midst of that brothers' meeting, someone stood up and let out. Peter was there. Paul was there. Speaks of Barnabas being there. Silas was there. Many of these men, the apostles, they were gathered together there. Who let out? They're all spiritual. Right? We're all spiritual. They're all at the same place. But James stood up and said, Brothers, I think that by the Spirit of God, I think this is what we should do. And he laid it out what they should do. End result, something happened. It brought peace. Everybody was at peace and in agreement. That's what clear authority will actually do. It brings peace. It helps unite hearts. James did that. He stood up and he let out. Korah, he met Moses and Aaron. Korah had a big uprising. You all know the story. I'll brief it. Korah, I think it's Abiram and Dathan. And then there was some more there. There was the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben. They took men. And they had some meetings here. They were talking about some things. And they were not pleased with Moses and Aaron leading out. So finally they get their group together. And those men with other men. And then they got, I think it said 250 princes. So they didn't just stick to a motley crew, okay? They didn't just take a bunch of people that were on their level or maybe a little lower than they were. But they actually went and got 250 men of renown, it says. Men that were well known and well respected. And they got their group together, they got their act together, and they come and they meet Moses and Aaron. You guys take too much on you. Who do you guys think that you are? We're all holy men. They said, we're holy men as well. I don't know about you, but I remember a time where when I got born again, we were excited about the gospel. We were tired of our church. We were tired of the ministry. We were tired of all those things. And so, verses like this, well, not on this one here because this would have went against this, but God speaks, the scriptures speak of us being holy. We're ministers of reconciliation. That puts us pretty high, right? We're all kings and priests. We don't need this kind of authority. We don't need this. Was the authority in that time in my life, was it maybe misused? It may have very well been. But it was authority nonetheless. But the attitude that I don't need anyone over me, the attitude that we're all spiritual, we're all spiritual minded. That great brothers meeting in Acts, they could all rose up and, hey, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus too. I walked with him too. You know, James, who do you think you are? You know what I'm saying? That could have been that way, but it wasn't. But we got converted. There wasn't discipleship there for us. So we had a group that was growing by large numbers. And authority was not something that was in our forefront at all. We can all preach. We can all deal with things. Did you know that, as I read earlier, there's gifts that were given to men? I've seen brothers, I don't claim to be a great speaker, but I've seen brothers that could hardly speak. But because of the pressure that we can all do it, they labored. And it was almost like they were in agony. But because we're also spiritual, there's gifts given to men. That was actually a pretty devastating time as I look back in our life. Because the lack of authority in our life destroys our life. The lack of authority and rebellion against authority, it brings a blindness. We don't see very clear anymore. There has been a lot of shipwrecks in our community that started back then. A lot of families that they started very well. They were excited about the Lord Jesus. But their children were all little. But as time kept going on, the years were passing, their children got of an age where they started thinking a little on their own. And then instead of dad charting a course, being clear, giving direction, things changed. And the children were charting a course, and if he wanted to stay with the family, he just followed after. Do you see what lack of authority, a lack of brotherhood in church structure and authority does? There's a strength there for families. It's like when you're in a body that has peace and there's excitement for the Lord there, there's life there. There's like this hedge of protection around you. That when you do make a misstep to the left or to the right, you might bump into Paul or you might hit Joel and they might say, "Hey brother, I think we got to consider this." There's that protection that's there for us. But outside that, you don't get that. Every man does what's right in their own eyes, and that's what we did for a number of years. and a number have paid the price very dearly. But Korah said, "We're all holy men. We're all holy men. We can all meet with God. You're taking too much on you." I think it says that they were the sons of Levi. They had some status to them as well. They weren't just the outcast group back here. They weren't just the tag-alongs. We're the sons of Levi. We're holy people. But you know, God had to do some showing otherwise. God had authority in mind, and he has a right response to authority in mind. As Korah and his men, he had a big group of support. And I do find that as well, that it is interesting. The larger your support group, the stronger you are. You know, when we first got converted, we had a big support group. There was a lot of us at the same place, excited about the Lord Jesus. And we really wanted what was right. But we were unlearned. And we needed to be taught. We needed to be discipled. That's really where we were. But as you have a large group of people and you think a lot alike, there's a lot of strength in those numbers. Because I know here in this account here, Korah went and spoke to Moses. And Moses addressed it. And he hollers out for Abiram and Dathan to come on out here. And they refused to come out. They wouldn't do it. But their numbers, they were told to separate. The people said, Moses said, "Separate yourselves." He told the congregation, "From these men, and we'll let God decide who is who." And it tells us here that as Korah and them, they all took incense as well. They were going to took censers, and they were going to burn incense. There was, I think, 250 men that had censers to burn incense. And then there was Aaron. As they met with God there, God very clearly spoke, and he says, "Get up out of the tabernacle." And he calls them by name. And these men, they came out. And he told Moses, "Speak to the congregation." He says, "Tell them to depart from the tents of these wicked men, lest you be consumed." Even though they had a lot of support, even though they had good lineage, so to speak, and they felt they were holy men, God saw this otherwise. And when they came to Moses, first of all, Moses wasn't this man that misused his authority. Moses wasn't saying, "Hey, listen, guys, God chose me way back then, and you better, because he had an agenda." Moses didn't do that. But rather, he actually pled for the people. He says, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Moses, he did display authority in a proper way there. But as God brought judgment to Korah, the earth opened up and swallowed them. And then there's fire come down from heaven and burnt up those 250 men that were going to offer incense. Judgment was so swift. And the people fled. God will not accept disrespect to authority. We won't prosper in our lives. You know, he doesn't judge men that way very often anymore. but there's times he still does. That made me think of another account of a man. He was a businessman. He was a wealthy man. He lived a double life, a double standard in life. He says, he's living this life. He's a good church member. The church people would have no idea about this second life that he lives. And he's a great giver in the church, a big supporter in the church. They don't know anything's going on. Something's wrong in the home. The family at home knows something is wrong. That didn't function well. And in his business dealings, he had ended up meeting another woman. So he has a wife or a woman in town, and then he has his wife that he lives with. And he often had to go to town. His business dealings weren't upright. The public, the society around them complained about his business practices. But the church didn't know much about any of that. But the ministry there was notified about that. And they went to address it. And as they went, they went to his house and they said, and he talked to him about something. And he says, well, come on in. They went to the living room away from his wife. And they started to address this. They said, these things are going on. And this man got angry. He was very angry at them for addressing this. And he started to curse them. And I said, you know, it doesn't always happen that God deals with them like he did it with Korah. But in this case, that man, as he cursed them, fell dead at their feet. Do we think God takes lightly how we treat authority? Is it a light matter? You know, we often look at Korah and like, yeah, that's something that happened back then. God was more in tune and involved somehow. But this man, he might be back in your grandpa or your great-grandpa's age. It wasn't that far back. But he died. And he died suddenly. God does not take it lightly when we disrespect authority. God is, he's got his ways established, and he expects that to follow that way because there's a blessing in that. And the next day after Korah there, the people of Israel murmured and complained. They said, you killed all these people. They murmured. And God was angry again. His wrath was kindled. And Moses, what did he do? Did he say, yeah, God, I'm tired of them too. Just get rid of them. He didn't do that. Moses was a good example of authority rightly used. Being in a right heart posture to be an authority. He was a prime example for us. Moses actually pled with God. He said, God, he didn't want him to destroy these people. And he says, Aaron, run out. Take the censer. Run out to the people that the plague can be stopped. There's a plague came. And Aaron lit a censer and he ran out to the people. And he got to the middle of the people. And the plague was stayed, it says. It stopped. Aaron didn't have to run. Aaron could have took his time and lit that thing. He said, you know what? I'm tired of these people too. they've been a pain all these years. But they had a heart for their people. That plague stopped, but not without a great cost. The cost was great. There's 14,700 people that were already dead. It wasn't just these people at Korah, Abiram, and Dathan, the 250, and then all the others that were with them. It wasn't just, that was a big number already. But these people, it says, on the morrow they murmured. And God was angry. And Moses was interceding. Aaron ran to try to stop this plague. They had a heart for their people. But God doesn't deal lightly with the lack of respect in our hearts to authority. You know, we can say, well, we've experienced the misuse of authority. We can say that, and maybe you have. That might be right. But it still does not excuse us from how we respond to authority. Does that make sense? There's still a high calling on you and I's life and how we respond to authority. In Peter, you read in 2 Peter, the second chapter, there was a problem that happened here. There was false teachers and prophets that were coming in. And it indicates that these people had a problem with authority. Because as you read through there, these were men that had a problem with authority. They spoke evil of it. It says here in verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. It says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Saying the angels don't even speak evil of that authority. They don't even bring railing accusation against them before the Lord. They're mightier. They're greater in power and might, it says. But we as humans will do that. And as I was thinking of this word government, it simply means any kind of order. Any kind of order in the church or in the world. These people, they despised government. It also says that they were not afraid to speak evil of dignities. As I consider that, they were not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Did you know that Korah and those men were not afraid to speak evil of dignities? Dignities there means ecclesiastical offices, referring to preachers. Authority, it's referring to a church authority here. They weren't afraid to speak evil of dignities. You know, your pastors, your preachers, your elders, they don't do everything right. I know that because they're people like you and I. They don't always do everything right. But let's maintain a right heart towards them. Because when we get caught speaking evil of them, we're not in the blessing of God. God's not patting you in the back. Yep, you got him. You set him straight. That's not where you'll find God. But if there is an issue, God gives you a way to address that issue. He says, you know, you take another brother with you. And in humility, you go address that issue. There's a way to do it. He didn't say you take 10 and 50. You just take another brother with you. Because when you get caught up talking, you get caught up like Korah, and you get a big crowd. All of a sudden you're pumped, and you're not thinking straight at all. It's not going to go well. It won't go well for you. God doesn't bless those that can very easily speak evil of God's people. Even if they're not in authority in the church. But authority has been something that too many people have struggled with. And too many people go through too long of a time in their life in this state. They miss the blessings of what it will do for them. They miss the blessings of peace in the church. Because God, He doesn't smile on those actions. So many times, you know, I know how it is because I wasn't always a preacher. So I know how it is to be on the opposite side of being a preacher. Can I just speak that plain? I don't know how else to put it. Because I don't like to say the term just a brother. I don't like that term. Just because it's not just a brother. It's a brother. However, I know how it is to be on that side. I know what it feels like sometimes when there's some direction given and it doesn't always set well. I know how it feels when there's direction given and you sit there and scratch your head and you think, what were they thinking? Why didn't they do it this way? I mean, what were they thinking? And it just seems so obvious that you don't just do that. You do this. And then maybe sometime later you do that. But whatever. I don't get it. You know what I'm talking about, Marvin? You know that thing that they did? I don't get it. I've been there. I know what that's like. There's no blessing from God there. I can gather strength from people. I can destroy brothers because they weren't there. Oh yeah, I didn't think of that. But yeah, that makes sense. Huh. Now my group's getting bigger. The peace of God leaves the church when that happens. So many times, as preachers, we're in situations where we make a decision. And yes, it could have been done 15 other ways. It really could have been. But because we know of this situation here, which was linked to that situation there, and it's a whole situation we've been dealing with and helping and trying to, for a while, bring restitution, that whole thing we've been working with. You don't know it. But you know what? It was one of those things where they come in confidence. That they had a place of confidence to share. That's how we knew about it. That's how we were working with it. Trying to help them come to a place. And so sometimes we give direction based on some of those things. And it's not wrong for you to ask how you come to that conclusion. We love to talk about those things. But there's some things that we don't just readily share because it'd be better not to. And not that, you know, the brothers can't know everything. Sometimes as a brother, we feel like, well, who are they? Why can't the whole church know that thing? Well, sometimes when the whole church knows something, there are some, what I'm going to say, weak among us, that maybe can't control their tongue very well, that just like to talk, and that this situation we've been dealing with is so sensitive that the whole community doesn't need to know it right now. Maybe one day they'll find out about it, but hopefully by that time we can have some resolve here, some restoration, restitution. And I know that don't make sense all the time. But I just ask you to be careful as you work with the authority in your church. And I speak that to my shame, that I have been found there. I have been there too many times. A lack of support. Because God cares how we respond to authority. You think of David, King David. And how he responded to authority. Saul was actually not good authority. Saul wasn't someone that you would say, yeah, just follow him. David didn't. He fled from him, by the way. But yet he still honored God's anointed, the one that was called by God, he still respected him because of what God did, the work God did. David respected it in such a way that he repented from cutting off his garment. Just a little piece. You know, the children of Israel are prime examples of always finding fault with their leaders. Their leaders just couldn't do much right. And Aaron and Miriam got caught up with that thing too. Who do you think you are, Moses? Who do you think you are? And God judged that situation. And Moses pled for them, and God restored it. And sometimes in our lives, going through church life, sometimes we find ourselves struggling with the direction of the church. And most of the brothers are on board. They want to chart a course together. I know years ago when I resisted that authority in my life, we were all spiritual. We didn't need somebody to give that direction. We weren't about to have rules because, I mean, stop and think about it. What is it in Colossians 2 there? It says, touch not, taste not, handle not. I mean, think about it. We're not going back there. Well, brothers and sisters and friends, that's not what that's even talking about. That's not talking about a church being practical and living out the Christian life together. It's not doing that. Study that out. You'll find it different than that. But those thoughts were in our minds. And so when the ideas of brotherhood agreements and those type things came up, we resisted them. We find ourselves fighting against them. We won't embrace them. Sometimes when we're there in life and we're resisting authority, resisting direction, let's just consider and reflect where we're at in our lives. If that blessing, if that free flowing connection with God is really there. Because oftentimes when we resist authority, there's a drying up starts happening. We're not thinking like the rest of the brothers. How come we don't think like the rest of the church? How come they see that way? They're all going left field. We don't sit there and think that way, but rather we have this attitude of they're all just losing it here. But as we consider our lives, I would beg of us to consider something. When the church sees something and sees a direction that's good for us, and you don't, I just beg of you to consider, what's it hurting you? What's it hurting you to be a support? One thing back home that we've talked about and that we're going to talk about again is technology. maybe in your congregation, you don't have all these blocks and these filters and all these things. You've never struggled with it. That wasn't a struggle that you have. You don't spend time on the internet and you do. But then the ministry suggests that, hey, what if we would consider this? I think it would be very good for us. And the reason they're trying to chart this course is because not everybody is as successful as you are. Maybe you don't fall in them areas, but there's a number of others that are really struggling. This is a thing that's going to be good for us. Let's consider it from that aspect that sometimes these decisions and these requests and the church's vision on something is because of others, not necessarily just for me sometimes. But as we embrace it, we strengthen others. And we find a blessing of peace to continue on in the church. But all too often, our flesh gets in the way when it comes to brotherhood. We're all made up a little differently. We all have different character, you know. Maybe one's a little more bold and maybe one's a little more timid, and one's scared of this, and one's concerned about that. But as we come together and we talk about these things, we do it because what is the best for the kingdom of God in our local community? How can we display a testimony, the best in our community? What's the best for our people here? That's why we look at those things. And so let's have a heart that's willing to not resist authority, but to embrace it. Because God, we've seen very clearly other times of much harsh judgment upon those that did. There was a brother in our congregation some years ago here. We were wrestling with this thing of direction. We were wrestling with this thing. And that's over the time, during that time, is when Brother Mark stepped up and encouraged a letter to be sent out. I think David was supporting him. God bless him for that. However, it was during this time we were wrestling through, something's got to change in our church life. There's something missing in our church life. We see too much of everyone doing their own thing, and we see way too many families not making it. Way too many train wrecks in families. Something's got to change. What is it? How is it? So as we're wrestling through this, we get this encouragement from Brother Mark and David there. That was a help. But there's a number of people didn't want to wrestle long. And as we came to the place where, yeah, we need to live, we need to do church life practical. We need to consider that. And we need to be practical in church life. So that means I'm going to have to bow down to this brother here because, you know, there's some things that they're going to go in favor of his concerns, okay? That's how church life works when you're practical. And there's things where this brother has to consider because the idea that I shared got considered and upheld. And so there's this back and forth, and then there comes this consensus, and this is where we land it. And we all try to support it, whether it was our idea or not. We just try to blend and be supportive, and it brings peace. There was this young brother among us, and he was wrestling with this thing because of authority in his life. He was wrestling with it. We're not going there. And he was on his way out. He was going to leave. But I think one of his older brothers got a hold of him and just told him to consider not doing what you're going to do. Just consider the other alternative. That maybe this is right. And that brother stopped and considered it. And his testimony today, he was actually testifying to another brother that went on. And he was later talking to him, and they was having some discourse there. And he says, you know what? That was the best choice I made. I didn't see it at that time. But because I was willing to humble myself under that authority and the direction there and pick it up, because I was willing to do it, I see it very clearly. That was a benefit to me. Best thing I ever did to my family, he says. He says that was the goodness of God that helped him see that he was seeing it wrong. Authority. If he would have resisted it, he wouldn't be at a good place today. Some make it back, but others don't. So my encouragement to us tonight is don't resist authority. Young people, you know, authority is all over your life. It is. When you're in your home, there's authority. Your dad and mom they give you some direction. You can choose to embrace that or resist that. And really what you're doing is you're doing this. When you embrace it, you say blessings. Blessings will flow in my life. Do I see it? No, I don't see it. I think dad's a little outdated. But I'm gonna put myself here. Those blessings will come. This brother here decided to put himself under that authority. He didn't see it. But he said, you know what, I'm going to give this I'm going to give this a try and try to see this. Was it blessings instantly? No, he actually wrestled for some time there. But then he started seeing the direction of where he was going to go in others. And he was like, wow. And then he started experiencing peace in the brotherhood. Not everybody was just doing what they wanted to do. And his eyes were open. And he's planted. And he's like, that's the best thing I ever did. It's the best thing I could ever done for my family. Who gets the glory? God does. Today he has two sons that gave their lives to the Lord Jesus since then. He's receiving blessings. Young people, make that decision of just honoring your father and mother and receive those blessings. If you don't, you receive a curse. That sounds harsh, I know. But you know what that you can read in the Old Testament. You know what the antidote to a rebellious young person was in the camp of the Israelites? Do you know what that was? It wasn't, Sonny, you shouldn't do that, but you ain't coming home for supper for 3 weeks. You're going to have to go fend for yourself a little bit. It wasn't. It wasn't, you're going to have to move with Uncle So-and-so 3 states away because we can't have that influence here. You need to go help at that, get help at that home over there because you got an attitude problem. It wasn't that. It was what brother said here. He said stones. If you had a rebellious child, you took him to the elders. It was confirmed he's a rebellious child. Do you know where that went after that? It went outside the camp. And then do you know what happened? He wasn't turned loose to go find his own way. It says they were to stone him with stones. And so when you think of rebellion, young people, that's how God looks at it. That's how God looks at it. Sure, we don't get stoned with stones today. And the first person to throw that stone, if I have this correct, I think it was the dad. He threw the first stone and the rest would throw stones in. They would stone him. You know, when as young people, we stop receiving instruction. We rebel against dad and mom. We're always at odds with the church. Did you know that your ministry doesn't have to keep coming up to you and say, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, that thing that you're doing, it's really highly questionable. Do you know they don't have to do that? If you're blending and you're wanting to be part of it, you can actually stop and look around in your own congregation and think, why do I stick out like that? Why is not everybody else doing that? I'm kind of the only one, ain't I? Did you know you can do some homework and some self-evaluation? Your ministry doesn't have to always tap you on the shoulder. Say, Sonny, could you just comb your hair? That thing that you got out there, could you just comb that? You're just exalting yourself. You're not blending in and trying to be a blessing here. There's no need for it. But all you got to do is just take an evaluation. Where is the church going? Oh, well, why don't we do that? Well, hey, that's a good question. Why doesn't your church dress that way or do that thing or go that place? Why don't they? Do you know how to get an answer to a question? Ask it. Ask it. You can go to your elders. But in a lot of churches, there's gray heads in there. There's pillars in the church. You even got to go to your elders. Just try one of those brothers there. And you know what? They usually give you the same answers the elders would. Just try it at once and see if it won't bless you. But when we resist authority, we don't have that clear flow from heaven anymore. In Proverbs 30, verse 13, it says, the young eagles will pluck out your eyes. And Brother Leonard Martin shared this sometime back at home, and it always stuck with me. The young eagles will pluck out your eyes. And really what it's talking about is, he shared it in this way, that it's your eye of discernment. I have seen young people rebel. I have seen young people go against the direction of the church. They've gone against dad and mom. The ministry has pled with them, and they just don't want to pick it up. They just don't want to consider it. The more we rebel, our discernment leaves. We lose our discernment. I've heard testimonies from young people. I'll never go that far. No, just the things that you're asking of me is too much. That's the problem here. But I'll never go that far. I won't do that thing. And do you know what? Some have found repentance and come back shaking their head like, I don't know how I got there. I said I would never go there. How did I get there? It's that I have discernment. You end up places you never thought you would go. Because as you pull away, your thinking starts to change. You don't see very clear. The eagles start plucking out your eyes. We start having very wrong views of life. You know, another question we can ask ourselves, if things aren't going well for you, there's trouble at every turn. I've got trouble with the children. They seem rebellious. They go in every direction against my authority. Oftentimes, that can be based on the response to authority. And oftentimes, for parents, that can come home to our response to authority. If we don't have a right response to authority, don't expect that your children will pick that up and have that right response. If you go home and you have church and preachers for supper, and there's a lot of disrespect in that bowl of soup, your children got that. They got it. Oh, let's respect them and honor them anyhow. No, they got it. They done picked that up. Oftentimes, our problems start with us. Oftentimes. Not always. But oftentimes they do. Rebellion oftentimes slides in to us, through us. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and it was to be put out of the camp of the children of Israel. It brings roadblocks in our lives. It causes us to not see clearly. I know of a lot of people that are caught up in witchcraft. And we can have some good spiritual conversation to a degree. Only so far. Only certain things. There's roadblocks, and you wonder, why can't we go further? Witchcraft does that. It's a roadblock. Rebellion does that. It's a roadblock. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it gives us a warning here. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. The word unruly there means unarranged, insubordinate. And then it has in parentheses, religiously unruly. Insubordinate there, defiance to authority, refusal to obey orders. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, young people, if your dad and mom give you some direction, and you defy that, you resist that, it warns us about being unruly here. There's no blessing from God in being unruly. But rather, if we could be like Cornelius, the centurion, he was a man who was in authority. He knew what authority was. He says, I can tell these men, go here and do that. I tell these men, come here and do this. Those men, he was in authority. I don't know how he did it back then, but today when they're enlisted in the army, it's yes, sir. And they march on. He knew what authority was. And because he knew it and understood it, he could receive that blessing. He said, no, just say it. Say it. That's fine. I understand authority. And he humbled himself under Almighty God. We are blessed when we embrace authority. And we have many scars when we have disregard for authority. You know, one thing I'd like to encourage you all, just as a testimony of something that I have found a tremendous blessing in my life. I can't think of the verse, Hebrews 13:17. It talks about that your elder, it's talking about your elders, those that are ministering. It says something that they may do it with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. And just as a testimony, and I would encourage you to do that. Your ministry didn't give me a topic tonight. I want to tell you that first. They didn't give me this topic. But I want to encourage you in something. Your ministry, designed by God, expected by God to do their job, to fulfill their calling with joy. We as people can make their lives miserable. Absolutely miserable. Just a testimony, when God got a hold of my heart with that verse. And I praise God for doing that, because I wasn't in the ministry at that time. And when God got a hold of me in that verse, I went to Brother Paul and I said, "Paul, is there something, is there anything that I do that makes it difficult for you to serve joyfully?" I wasn't always there. I didn't always have that right respect for authority. And I'm sure I failed that at times after that. But my heart is that my life changed overnight, and night and day difference, when I could come to a place and humble myself and ask him, "Is there something that I do?" Because I truly wanted him to be able to fulfill his calling with joy. And it gives them opportunity, if you're honest, when you ask that question, it gives them opportunity to actually speak into your life, if there is something. I encourage you to have that open freedom with your ministry. And young people, you can do the same thing with them, but you can also do it with your parents. Ask them if there's something that you do that makes it hard for them as a dad, as a mom. Because I'm telling you what, for every one of the parents in here that love their children, everyone in here that wants the best for their children, spend sleepless nights at times praying, sometimes crying, have a burden for their children. As young people, you can make their time as your parents enjoyable, because they want what's best for you. I encourage us to be very careful with that. You know, as we lose our discernment, a testimony from a young woman that, for you young people, as you rebel against your authority and you go your own way, you end up in places that you never dreamed you'll actually be. This young lady, she ended up being excommunicated because of decisions that she's made. Choices that she's made. And as a church, they didn't stop praying for her. And I think it was probably about 8 months later, after that excommunication, that she ended up expecting a child, not married. And through the childbirth, there was some complications. She thought she was going to die. That's where she was at in life. She was certain that she was dying. She went as far as to write her daughter that was just born a letter, because she didn't think she would be able to ever talk to her. But by the grace of God, she found repentance. And as she, there in the hospital, I believe it was, because the hospital had sent her home, and she ended up back in the hospital. She had all kinds of pain and such going on. They couldn't figure out what is wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with her. But through that all, she started repenting. And you know what? When she did, God revealed to the doctors what was going on. Right before them, right on the x-rays, there's this big green blob. It wasn't hidden way down under. It was right there, and they never saw it. Is it because we got dumb doctors? No, we got some of the best doctors there are. It's because that was a spiritual thing. When a person is excommunicated, it says that it's for the destruction of their flesh that the soul may be saved. Her flesh was literally being destroyed. She found repentance. God opened those doctors' eyes. Today, near as I know, she's healthy again. And she got married. Now she has a small family. But I just want to share that with you, that when you go the wrong direction, you lose your vision. You lose the ability to be able to discern. And you are walking away from God, and certain destruction is in your path. Many times our struggles in our marriages, they all boil down to authority. In our homes, can it boil down to authority? Sometimes as parents, as dads, we can want to put on a show that we want our children all to walk in line so it looks good. It's an authority thing that you like to. Sometimes that can happen. A lot of times our struggles, when we struggle with the church, we're going to struggle with the family. Authority is something that God holds in high regard from little children on up. Many times our problems in life boil down to authority, the resisting of it. And we have to remember that God ordains it. It's ordained of God, and be careful that you don't fight against it. thinking of authority and how God has brought judgment to many a soul because of rebelling against authority. Many families were destroyed. I thank God for the mercy that He has shed upon my heart and life to show me that I needed that in my life. I needed that authority in my life. We needed it as a church. We needed it as a family. And I thank God for doing that work in my heart, and I see that it goes on to our children. Our children can actually have a respectable relationship with their church authority. Did you know that? My children don't duck when my fellow ministers come around. They're not doing hiding this thing so Dad don't see it. He's a preacher. We have many young people in our congregation that don't do that. And we can, you know, on a Sunday for lunch, I can go sit with the young guys. And they're not like, shh. Don't make them feel weird. They actually welcome us. Are all of them there? I'm not going to say all of them are there. But there's a number of them that are there. And that's a blessing. You can have that. You can have that in your church, in your family. I am humbled at what God has done in my life. And if we humble ourselves and we realize that this is ordained of God and that we need this, this kind of structure in our lives, because there's times coming that we're going to need each other in this way. There's times coming where maybe some crisis hits your family. Where are you going to turn to? Where are you going to turn to? But you can go to your authority, your church, your brotherhood. You can go there and find blessing. But it takes a bowing down to let that happen. What if God today would judge us like he did them in the days of Korah? Where are you and I at today? Are we at a place we're free from this rebellion? Are we at a place where we're okay? We're clear with dad and mom. We're not always sitting there and making dad's job miserable. Son, don't. Daughter, don't. Please, would you just see it, that it's going to be better for you this way? Would you just try to understand this? That we're not there, that resistance to authority. And if we are there, what if God would judge us like he told them to be judged in Israel? Take him outside and stone him. Instant judgment. What if God would do that today? Are we free in our hearts that we know that that law could be in effect? But because of where I'm at, because of my relationship with my parents, because of my relationship with God, with my elders, with the rest of the church, that's okay if that law was there. It doesn't strike a chord of fear. I'm all right with that. Are we okay with that? With where you are at? You know, God never changed his mind on authority. He didn't. He doesn't judge men like he did back in the days of Korah all the time. But he still didn't change his viewpoint on authority. It's still there. And it's given to you and I for a blessing. For a blessing. He's still going to judge you for how you view authority. You will not prosper spiritually if you fight against it or have the wrong view of it. Your family will not prosper if this isn't right. That's how serious authority is in our lives. I'm going to leave you with those thoughts, and I just plead with you that you would consider the seriousness of authority. How God really, really looks at this. And how that you are shutting off that flow of blessings in your life by resisting authority. I want to just testify to the goodness of God that the blessings in my life have been flowing. Just because I'm a minister doesn't mean that I'm not under authority. I'm still under authority. I still put myself under my fellow ministers. I still let myself be accountable to all the brothers. I'm still under the holy God of heaven. We're under authority. You can't be any place in life and not be under authority. Moses, the meekest man that ever walked, was under authority. He was under authority. He understood it. What if God would judge us today like he did them then? What if God would judge us like he did the man that cursed his ministry and he fell dead? What if he would do that today? I don't know where you're at. God does. But my heart for you is that you spare yourself the grief and start prospering now. Don't wait till you've done it for 10 years and then try it. You can if God gives you the grace to live that long. But you're wasting so much precious time. You are losing so many blessings. Dads, your family needs it. If you can just give it. But you need to receive it so you can give it. There's so many blessings that you are refraining from. God help us to be honest. And if there's something in your life tonight, deal with that thing. Deal with that thing. Let that fresh living water from heaven just flow. Deal with it. Go to your ministry. Go to your dad. Reconcile to your brother. Reconcile to your sister. Let the peace of God rule in the church. It will. It will. It'll flow. I can testify to it. But it takes humility to maintain it. let's be careful. Maybe we could have a song. I'll pray, then we could have a song. And if God has spoken to your heart, feel free to make